Okay. Morning, everyone. Daf Pei. Daf Pei in Sanhedrin, we're back. We're behind. We're back on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, and we are going to go through today a lot of basic concepts in terms of Tairovis. We will see. Stay tuned. We discussed yesterday a machlokus in the Mishnah between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. The Chachamim said you really need two things in order to be considered a murderer. You need, number one, intent to kill, and number two, you need a force that is lethal. Those are the two ingredients that you need according to the Chachamim. If you're missing one of those two, so you will not be considered a murderer. You will be considered a bad individual, a threat to society, somebody you probably don't want to be neighbors with, but you will not be considered a murderer. Murderer is only somebody who has intent to kill and actually delivers a blow that is lethal. Rabbi Shimon adds one more component to it, and that is that you have to designate your victim. Designation of victim for Rabbi Shimon is based on a pasuk. Correct? Yeah. It's based on the pasuk. We haven't seen the pasuk yet. We'll introduce ourselves to a pasuk in just a moment. But according to Rabbi Shimon, kiven al harag etzeh, if I intend to kill this person, and instead harag etzeh, I have by accident killed another person. So I had the formula for murder. I had intent to kill, and I delivered a blow that would be lethal enough. Just happens to be, I missed my designated target, and I hit somebody else. So Rabbi Shimon says, you're potter. You're going to be exempt. That will not have the liability of a case of murder.
Does Rabbi Shimon generally hold that this tavern because by Shabbos too, he holds one is not
right,
right.
Shabbos is a separate issue, but it is fair to compare the two. My Davish says, Rabbi Shimon says, Davish and Miskavin is mutter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's even mutter. Yeah.
Right, right.
So that may be...
That's a very fair point. Okay? So the Gemara is going to right now. Okay, Pshita. We're in the middle of the Amud, Ayin Tesamat Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud. So Pshita, the Gemara says, let's start off with something which according to Rabbi Shimon would be obvious, and that's the following. Kai Ruvin Vishimon Va'amar Ana L'Ruvin Kamechavne L'Shimon Lo Kamechavne Hainu Plutayim. So let's start off with what is obvious. Two people are there, Ruvin and Shimon are there. And I'm saying very clearly, I can't take Reuven. I've had it with Reuven. I need Reuven to leave the world, this earth. I'm interested in killing Reuven. Shimon, I'm fine with. He's okay. He could stay. And then by accident, the person, instead of killing Reuven, kills Shimon. Okay? So that is for sure where Rabbi Shimon, and the Chachamim disagree. For sure, the Chachamim say, look, you intended to kill. You delivered a blow that would kill. You're chayv. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you did not hit your intended designee, and therefore you're potter. Am lechad minayu, however, let's say we are exploring the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Let's say, am lechad minayu mai. What if, look, I just can't stand the two of you. Now, I don't want to kill both of you. That would be insane. I just want to kill one of you. And I'm not really interested. I don't care which one of you I kill, as long as I kill one of you. So, inami. Okay, so that's one question. The Gemara is going to leave that right now open. Open-ended question. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, is that enough? Or, inami, kasav Reuven v'nim sa Shimon. Or, let's say, kasav Reuven v'nim sa Shimon. Oh, I thought it was Reuven, and meanwhile, it turns out to be Shimon. My, what would be the halacha there as well? Okay, second open-ended question. Tashma d'tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashi Omer l'ploni ani miskavin. So the Gemara says, basically to answer both these questions, you have to designate your victim, right? Much like Eidos, right? You have to say, I want you, the two of you, to be my Eidim to the exclusion of everybody else. So in a very dark and twisted way, the same thing is true according to Rabbi Shimon when you're going to commit murder. When you're about to commit murder, you must designate the victim and say, you're the one I want to murder, not anyone else. I'm not confusing you with anyone else. It's you I'd like to murder. My
so
time.
The group, you're saying that if you say I intend to kill, they'll say out.
Well, yeah. In other words, you go to a group and you say, I want to kill some of you for Rabbi Shimon. You'll be potter. You'll be potter. My time with Rabbi Shimon. So what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara is not giving us the reason. It's not a svara. It's based on a pasuk. I'm a krah. Va'arav lo v'kam alav. But the pasuk does say, Parsha Shoftim. Va'arav alav. And he's going to ambush him. V'kam alav. And he's going to jump on him. Ad shi'is kavein lo. The Torah says, "Va'arav lo." You got to see him. You have to ambush him. You have to be able to identify the person before you kill him. Know that that's the person that you want to kill. Then and only then you're going to be chayav. V'rabanan. Okay, good. Now we shift direction towards the Rabbanan. The Chachamim, you don't agree with Rabbi Shimon. There's no need to designate who the victim is going to be. So according to the Chachamim, Amar Midebei Rabbi Anai, Pratler Zorik, Evan Lego. So they say, you know what the Pasuk is coming to teach me? The concept of Zorik, Evan Lego. You take a stone and you throw it into a crowd. And the stone kills somebody in the crowd. Now, Hei Chidami. What exactly is the scenario of the Chachamim where you take a stone, you throw it into the crowd, and it kills somebody? Now remember, according to the Chachamim, you don't have to designate who your victim is going to be. Mm-hmm. So that means that according to the Chachamim, what difference does it make whether or not there's one person there, two people there, a whole crowd of people over there? I throw a stone into the crowd. If my intention is to kill somebody, and I end up killing somebody, you're going to be chayev. So what's this case of Zorik Evan Lego according to the Chachamim? Hey Chidami, how does that work? So the Gemara says maybe the way it works is that there are 9 kusim, there are 9 non-Jews. Now, we've mentioned this yesterday, we mentioned this a bunch of times. When it comes to non-Jews, so you're not allowed to kill a non-Jew. Techil Hashem if you kill a non-Jew. Right, but it's not a capital crime. You will not be put to death by Beis Din if you kill a non-Jew. Right, the act is extraordinarily heinous, and we're not judging the act, just simply saying, legally speaking, it's not a capital crime. So if you want to tell me that there are 9 kusim over there, and Echad Yisrael ben Nehem, and there's 1 Jew, so typically, there are kusim nenu. So there, forget pasuk. I don't need a pasuk yet. I got 9 non-Jews, each one of them carries an exemption from liability. I got 1 Jew, 9-1, so we have majority of them non-Jew. I take a stone and I throw it into the crowd and it ends up killing somebody. And let's imagine that we don't know which one of them I killed. I know that's bizarre, but let's imagine I don't know which one of them I killed, so the probability is I didn't kill a Jew. You're not going to put me to death, right, over that, for sure not. Because from a statistical standpoint, I did not kill a Jew. So inami pago pago, and now what happened? Let's say there are 5 and 5, 5 non-Jews and 5 Jews. Something nefashos lahakil. So now once again, the perpetrator of this heinous act, he's not going to be put to death because there's a 50% chance that he doesn't deserve the death penalty. Remember, the death penalty is also an act of murder. Legislated act of murder, required act of murder, but it's an act of murder. So you're not going to put somebody to death if you're only 50% sure that he should die. So you're not going to do that. So the case is where you have 9 Jew and 1 non-Jew. So that's what the aura of love, become a love, is coming to teach us. I take a stone and I throw it into a crowd. The crowd is made up of 9 Jews, 1 non-Jew. So now, should I get the death penalty for throwing that stone? Probably, yeah. Yeah. The chances are strongly in favor of the idea that I killed a Jew. Now, what is... So if we just stopped here in the Gemara, which we're not going to do, and we just paused and reflected, I should be chayev, the perpetrator should be chayev misa. He should be chayev the death penalty. And yet what we learn from Va'arav Lo is that he's not going to get the death penalty based on a concept. We've seen this concept a couple of times. We're seeing it right now. I will tell you the concept. I will be unable to explain the concept. This is one of those concepts that come up in Shas. Every time we go through it, I challenge. I say there is no explanation. Somebody comes afterwards to me and says, I think I understand it. I listen. I'm still listening. I'm always open to listening. But it's a difficult concept. And the concept basically goes like this. When you have a tarov, it's when you have a mixture. And every one of the items there is kavua. Kavua means stationary. They're stationary items. So as long as it's a mixture, regardless of what the actual numbers are, we will always view it as 1-to-1 ratio. Kol kavua, Kemechza amechza dami. It's treated like 50-50. So I have a crowd of people. The people are not moving around. They're all stationary. Nine of them are Jews. One of them are non-Jew. I take a stone and I throw it into the crowd and it kills one of the members of the crowd. And once again, in the bizarre scenario where I don't know which one it killed. Okay. And then I'll say, look, statistically speaking, I probably killed a Jew. 9 out of 10 chance I killed a Jew. Usually you go with those odds. Those are rove odds. And then I'll say, okay, now that I killed the Jew, so the person who did it, assuming that we went through the due process, now chayv misa. But since they were all stationary, so now it's called kavua, kemechza amechza dami. Every time you have kavua, it's considered 50-50. Good. That's what we learned from the pasuk of Ara of Love Kamalav.
How did you even have a half a minute to kill him when you don't know if he killed the Jew?
You don't know, but you have rove.
But when it comes to something like misa,
we learned earlier in Sanhedrin that even though we don't know we're not going to know everything with 100% certainty. In every case of a capital crime, you hit your father. How do you know he's your father?
Right.
How do you know? The Gemara asked the question before. How do you know the person that you killed isn't a treifel? You're not going to know everything. So there's a statistical majority of things that you're going to know with a certain amount of certainty. So here, I know 9 out of 10 is pretty good. There's a 1 in 10 chance that you ended up not being chayv misa, but still, 9 out of 10 is pretty good. And we have a concept of rov, you go forward. But again, now we have a new concept called kavua, kemechza amechza dami. Good. All right, Bishlam al Rabban and Daminis Kavan Haragazev Haragazev. We're going back now. So
I think I can explain. Wait. It's like with the dice, you know, like you say, the chance of dice.
Right.
You know, so if you take a whole number of, you know, a whole thing, obviously there's a certain percentage, but every time you roll it, right? You can have either black or red. Let's say black or red, right? Every time you do it, but statistically, if you do a lot of a number, you say. Some, you know, 60% will come out this way.
But each case,
it's only 1 to 1. There's only 50% chance, each case.
Right. I have a personal statistician. I'll speak to my good friend, Rabbi Lanner, and I'll see whether or not he agrees with your proposal.
On every case, it's only 1
okay.
chance.
I'm always ready to listen, but I'm not sure. We're back now at the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Bishlam al Rabban and Darman is Kavan Laragazev Aragazev Chayib. Dirsi Vichi Natsuan Shimonak Fui Shahara. Let's take a look back at that pasuk in Mishpatim, where the pasuk in Mishpatim is extraordinarily clear about this idea that as long as you want to kill somebody, and you did kill somebody, even though it's not the person you intended, the designated person, still you're going to be Chayib. How? Look at that pasuk in Mishpatim. Two people are fighting. And they end up hitting a woman, right? So the woman was the pregnant woman, okay? And the woman was certainly not involved in the fight, right? She tried to step in, maybe save her husband, right? We can add a little drama, but she was not the one fighting. She wasn't the one who was intended to get hit. The Amar Rav Elazar ben Matzah shebemisa kasa medaber dirchsiv emason yev v'nasata nefesh tachas nafesh. Now we know that they were exchanging death blows. They were interested in killing one another, right? Otherwise, how do you read the end of that pasuk? The end of the pasuk says, "V'nasata nefesh tachas nafesh." Yeah, right. Life for a life. So, if it results in death, we're going to take somebody's life. Clearly, it was intent to murder. So good and not good, but we understand. So then it comes down now that the woman was hit by accident. She died, and now the perpetrator is Chayav Misa. He is a murderer, even though that woman is not the one who intended to kill. So according to the Chachamim, that set of psukim can work out perfectly. But what if you're Rabbi Shimon? What are you going to do with those psukim? It's a strong question. Ela Rabbi Shimon Hayv Nasata Nefesh Tachas Nafesh Mayavilei. So what is Rabbi Shimon going to do with that? And listen to the answer of the Gemara, Mamon. Nefesh Tachas Nafesh means money. You pay the person's value of his life. Right? Now, you'll think that's strange. It's not strange. Ayin Tachas Ayin means money. Right? I poke somebody's eye out. The Torah says eye for an eye. Right? Gemara and Baba Kama, 8th Perek, spends 2 blot of Gemara going on to explain that doesn't mean eye for an eye. God forbid. Torah is not going to expect you to pluck your eye out because you pluck someone else's eye out. It means mammon. It means the value. The Gemara over there discusses why the Torah phrases it, ayin tachas ayin. But still, the bottom line is that it's mamon. So if ayin tachas ayin means I pay the monetary value of the person's eye, nefesh tachas nefesh, it's not bizarre to suggest, and that's what the Gemara is doing right now, on behalf of Rabbi Shimon, that nefesh tachas nefesh also means money. I pay for the monetary value of the death. So according to Rabbi Shimon, listen carefully, it's so interesting. I kill somebody unintentionally, so I'm not a murderer, but I'm a mazik. Right. Damage. Usually we think of hezek, even bodily damage, as, right, I break his leg, or I even cut off his leg, I break his arm, I poke out his eye. Here now we're ascribing damage to
life.
Right, life. Life can also fall under the category of nezek. It is bizarre. Now, who are you paying? Right? Obviously you're not going to be paying the person you killed, and he's dead. So over here, the nezek obviously will go to the yorshim. But still, it's a case of nezek. Murder can sometimes be a case of nezek, like over here. So v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh mamon. Sorry, mamon. Uche de Rebbe.
Law here, civil law.
Right?
Civil
law. Correct.
You're losing the case, but you still can.
Right.
With that assumption, then you have to say, Adam Chayav, you know.
Correct, absolutely correct. In other words, here the intent will not matter. Mamon. Rebbe is also in agreement that the pasuk is referring to money. So what are we talking about? Mamon, how do you know? Maybe it's talking about real nefesh, real death. It says nesina a number of times. It says that above in Parshas Mishpatim, Rashi quotes, "Lo ye'asom v'nasan biflilim." Right? If you go to court, and they're going to court means money. Malahala mamon afkan mamon. All right. So good. So we do have a defense, a very solid defense for Rabbi Shimon in terms of what are you going to do with the pasuk nasata nefesh tachas nefesh.
So
the fetus is always considered monetary. Right? The fetus is not considered a life. Life does not begin until after birth. Okay, how that affects the laws of abortion and the halachic and the Torah view of abortion. Different time and a different person to discuss that. Not me. So the. Where does this take us so far? So we basically are now landed on the notion that it's a machlokas. If I intend to kill one person, I end up killing another person. Does that make the perpetrator a murderer? Is he chayav misa? Machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Chachamim say that he is a murderer. Rabbi Shimon said he's not a murderer. The Rambam follows the view of Rabbi Shimon that if you intend to kill one and you end up killing another person, so you are not considered a murderer. Although you may be considered a mazik. Okay. One more point to explore over here before we move on to the next sugya. Amarava. Hayde Tana de Bechizkiya mafkim in the Rebbe v'nafkim in the Rabbanan. There's a braisa of Tana de Bechizkiya. Tana de Bechizkiya is in the third parak of Ksuvos. It's in the second parak of Baba Kama. Oh, I don't remember. Okay. But in Ksuvos and Baba Kama, here's the one part where you don't need me for. You could just see the side of the Gemara. They're both on Daf Lamed Hay. Lamed Hay in Ksuvos and Daf Lamed Hay in Baba Kama. And add to that one, a third reference in Shas, and that's right here. Ayin Testament Base 79b in Sanhedrin, where we're learning Tana de Bechizkiya. Tana de Bechizkiya looks at last week's Parsha and notes the following. It talks about Makeh Adam, and it talks about Makeh Behema. Hitting a human and hitting an animal. Hitting an animal, causing damage to an animal, that's always monetary. Hitting a human is not monetary. That is a cat. That Makeh meaning to put the animal, to put a human to death, that's murder. Makeh Adam or Makeh Behema. Now, Makeh Behema lo chalakta bein shogeg lameza bein miskam l'shena miskavin bein derech yerida l'derech aliyah l'pocho mamon elo l'chayva mamon. It doesn't matter how you hit the animal, intentionally, unintentionally, right? With deliberation or without deliberation. Going up, going down. Now this going up, going down, that's a makos issue. Rashi says it doesn't really belong over here by hitting an animal. It's a galus issue. It's an exile issue. When we get to Gemara and Makos, we'll understand this much better. But it comes along here for the ride, right? Whatever. Not super important right now. But the idea is that when you hit an animal and you kill an animal, it's always nezek. Adamu ad la'olam. Doesn't matter what your intent is, you're always going to be chayiv mamon. Af makeh adam. So now we're going to go to the other side, and that is hitting a human. Lo tachlok bo, there will also be no differentiation. You're always going to be exempt. Meaning that what we're comparing is the idea of no differentiation. The conclusion is the exact opposite conclusion. By animal, you're always liable because it's monetary and you're always liable. By humans, you're always exempt. No differentiation. Question, why are you always exempt? Answer, kim le b'darabamine. Because right now you're involved in the act of murder. Even though it's unintentional, this is exactly the point of Tana de Bechizkia. Even though it's unintentional, you're doing an act where all you have to do is just add a little bit of intention, and this is an act of murder. We know, kim le b'darabamine, that you don't get punished twice for the same act. You don't get the death penalty and a monetary payment. And Tanya Bechizkiah is teaching us a big chiddush. Even if you don't get the death penalty, you'll still be exempt from monetary payment. Kimlei b'derabimine would apply even if you're not put to death. Or even if the act you're doing does not have kavana, doesn't have intention. Now,
how do they know that this comparison is referring to
Kimlei b'derabimine?
It's not true. There is a distinction between if you intend or you don't intend by a human being. I mean, comparison really.
Right, it's a chiddush. It's a huge chiddush.
What's the hint in the pasuk that they know it's talking
about? It's just that the psukim deal with the two seamlessly.
Yeah.
It's almost like.
But Machir Behem is not necessarily talking about a Kimlei Midrabimine.
Of course not. It's never a Kimlei Midrabimine case. It's an animal.
No.
Right. It's a big chiddush.
But how do we judge his kavanah? Does he have to say?
Yeah. So ma she'ein miskavin. I'm sorry. My she'ein miskavin. Now, okay, that's Tana de Bechizkiah. So now let's look at it now in context. What does that mean? Ein miskavin. Ilem she'ein miskavin klal. Hainu shogeg. What do you mean? Ein miskavin. Ein miskavin means he had no kavanah whatsoever. That's called shogeg. The Braisa already discusses shogeg. So what does ein miskavin mean? Elab shisha she'ein miskavin lazeh lazeh. It's a Rabbi Shimon and a miskavin, meaning I wanted to kill, I just didn't want to kill him. I intended to kill the other person, and by accident I missed and I killed him. That's what the Eina Miskavin of Tana de Bechizkiah teaches us. Ukitani, and what does the Braisa say? L'chayva mamon olapocha mamon, that you will be exempt from paying. The Ibar Ketalahu, my Yitzirich Lemifte Mamon. Ela lav shmamina lav bar ketolahu. Now, if he's chayiv misa, like the chachamim say, of course he's not going to have to pay money. That's kimlei b'derabamine. So it must be that he's not chayiv misa, right? I know we're putting a lot of pieces together, a lot of pieces of the puzzle together. But the point that comes out is that according to Tana de Bechizkiah, I intended to kill him, and instead I ended up killing him. I know that I'm not chayiv misa because if I were chayiv misa, then there would be no discussion. With kimlei b'derabamine, so I'm not chayiv misa. So you see that in general, Tana Bechizkiah subscribes to Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint that if I intend to kill him and I end up killing him, I'm pater. But here's where they separate. Rabbi Shimon says you're pater, meaning it's not capital case, but you have to pay. It's nezek. Rabbi Shimon says that this is a case of nezek. Now we'll go to Tana Bechizkiah, and here's this point of departure. It's not a capital case, and you're exempt from paying. Why? Because it came like, huh?
Because it could have been a capital case.
Because since it could have been a capital case, it still falls under the category of Kimlei b'derabamineh. V'lav bar mamonahu. And Tana Bechizkiah says you don't have to pay. So we have now two basic machloksim that wrap up this entire discussion. One is the Tana Kamar Rabbi Shimon machlokus of Kivan laharagazev haragazev. I intended to kill one person by accident, I killed another person. Chachamim say you're a murderer. Rabbi Shimon says you're not. We subscribe to the view of Rabbi Shimon. And then we have another machlokus of even within Rabbi Shimon, who says that you're not chayv misa, do I need to pay for the wrongful death that I just committed? So according to Rabbi Shimon, yes, you do. In fact, that's what nefesh tachas nafesh means. That nefesh tachas nafesh means mamon. Rabbi, we also know, subscribes to this view. Nefesh tachas nafesh means mamon. And according to Tana Bechizkiah, you're going to be exempt. It's now fair to ask, according to Tana Bechizkiah, what do you do with the pasuk of nefesh tachas nafesh? Is that a good question? I'm trying to think if that's a good question. It may be. Okay. Let's leave that alone. Let's start the next Mishnah. Okay. Okay, these next Mishnahs is Tarovis. It's all Tarovis. It's all about mixtures. Now we talk about Tarovis, and we're going to get to Chulin, and also in Zvachim and Menachos, it discusses a lot of it as well. And Tarovis refers to a mixing of meat and milk, mixing of kosher, non-kosher. This will be just mixing a little awkward. Mixing people who are liable to die. Now, how do you mix people together? That's much harder. That's a much harder Tarovis to make. Okay? And unlike milk and meat, where you just simply throw it out and okay, let's move on. We're talking about human beings. So, and not only that, but it makes it just to throw another mind bender into here in terms of how bizarre this is. Mixing people up who are chayiv misa, we don't have death row. Right? That's not part of our whole system. When based and concludes that this person's chayiv, the next thing that happens is okay, you come with us now. And he starts, and you take him out to be executed depending on how he's going to be executed. And we don't have this whole death row 1 year, 2 years, 20 years. Right? It's not part of our system. So how these people get mixed up together is kind of funny. We also know that Beis Din is not allowed to judge more than one capital case a day. So it's a very conceptual discussion. Practically speaking, I don't imagine we're going to ever come across this scenario. But still, in other words, we're going to use basic Tarovis principles to discuss and analyze these concepts. So it's not for naught. It's Torah, that's number one, and that's a big number one. And number two is that we'll use Tarovis concepts in order to understand and analyze these scenarios, so we will become more familiar with a lot of these Tarovis concepts.
Yeah, I couldn't tell which guy is which.
Right.
They all have long beards,
that's why.
I can tell the difference.
What's amazing is there are some people waiting to be.
I understand. Rotseach shit is Arev Ba'acherim. I got a murderer and he gets mixed up with a bunch of other people.
Right.
Okay, he's mixed up with other people. Now, the first part of the Mishnah is the funniest part, and the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time discussing it. Who are these other people?
Are they murderers?
Regulars. Right? What are they doing there? What are they doing there? Who are these people? And please consider now, because look what happens. Kulam Peturim. According to the Tanakhama, they're all exempt. Sounds like from the Tanakhama, they're all
murderers.
No.
No, they're exempt.
No.
They were sitting in a
no.
Jail, so
if they were not murderers, what would it be? Why would you assume that they would be punished, the other ones? Obviously.
Oh, you're saying it's such a right. I don't need a Mishnah. I know, right. It's so posh. Okay. Fine. All right. Let's wait till the Gemara. Gemara is going to discuss. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Konsen Osol Kippah. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You put him into a kippah. You put him into a pen. Now, this concept, right? This is the first time we've introduced this concept in Sanhedrin. Get ready, because we're going to see this concept a bunch of times from here forward. And the idea of Konsen Osol Kippah, you put him into a pen. What does that mean? Rashi over here says, and again, it was just a couple days from now, we'll discuss this more. Shama achilma some sa'orim. You give them barley. And I don't know what the problem with barley is. I add it to my children. I love barley. So,
but only barley.
Raw barley by itself, it swells. Achitivake kreisan. And what happens is that their stomachs burst. Kidney lakam. We're going to learn this later on. Okay. Basically, just a small comment about this idea of Konsen Osol Lekippah, and then we'll move on from here. You know, we've been discussing now from here, this is now the 79th page of Sanhedrin, we've been discussing that Beis Din really can't put people to death. The process required in order to commit a murderer to the death penalty is unbelievable. Two witnesses, they both have to be kosher. It's a long, detailed process. Rabbi Akiva comments later on in the Masechta that if a Beis Din killed somebody once every 70 years, that's a bloodthirsty Sanhedrin, right? And it rarely happens. And even if Beis Din wanted it to happen, it's very difficult to do. So you have a guy who committed murder, and we all know he committed murder, but What are you going to do? The guy got off on a technicality, and there's plenty of that in our system, in our legal system. I'm talking about the Torah. So there's plenty of that in our legal system. So what do you do with a guy like that? So sometime Beis Din has an extra legal measure where they could take care of people, right? We can't kill him, right? But we'll take care of him. Because the truth of the matter is, think about it, they also have an obligation to society. Right? So they, part of the Beis Din's job is to protect society. So yes, that's true, they have an operative principle of Tzvit, Tzilos, Ha'eda. They got to save people. But at the same time, they also have an obligation to protect society. So sometimes, if necessary, Beis Din will say, gentlemen, come with us. We're not going to kill you. God forbid. We're not going to kill you. Right, but we're going to put you on a special diet. Okay.
Is this like Askar?
We just talked about it. But I don't know. Right? Let's go on. So obviously, the first option, the first thing we're going to do when we hit the Gemara is we're going to have to discuss who are these people that he got mixed up with. Because as Phil pointed out correctly, if you've got mixed up with regular people, of course you're not going to put them to death. And then you certainly don't understand Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says kill them all, right? Not directly, but indirectly kill them all just because you're hanging out with a murderer, you're going to be put to death? Okay, so obviously we're going to have to understand that first part of the Mishnah better. Next part of the Mishnah. I have a mixture of chayv miso. So they're not all murderers. Some murderers, some mechal Shabbos, a whole potpourri of people who are chayv miso. And they all get mixed up together. And some of them should be getting skila, and some of them should be getting chedav. I got an adulterer here in the crowd as well. So I'm not... present company excluded. So the Zemizet, Nidonim Bikala. So now, and they all got mixed up, and we can't identify who's who, and I know that's bizarre, and we can't identify who's who, but we do know this, the common denominator is that they all need to get the death penalty. Some higher form, some lower form. So now, right, just like back in math, so when we go with common denominators, we're going to go with the one that could be used for all of them, right? That's the common denominator. So which one are you going to use? The kala, the lighter one. Meaning that even within skila has subsumed in it the lower forms of the death penalty. Just happens to be that for him, we turn it up three notches. And he gets skila. But in other words, but we could scale it down for him, if necessary, and here's a case where it's necessary. Ha-niskalim b'nisrafim. What if I got niskalim b'nisrafim? Now, tomorrow we'll talk more about this. This part of the Mishnah means one person who's chayv skila gets mixed up with a bunch of people that are chayv sreifa. Okay? Rabbi Shimon, just one second. Rabbi Shimon Amar Nidonim b'skila. Rabbi Shimon says, give him skila, because sheh sreifa chamur, because sreifa is more chamur. V'chacham amomrim Nidonim b'sreifa, sheh skila chamura. Classic machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim. Which one's more chamur? But they both agree. Give them both the lighter one. Amar lahem Rabbi Shimon, and here the Gemara kind of just regresses back to the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim. I know we dealt with this before, right? But the Gemara hits it again, even though we hit it at the beginning of the seventh parak of Sanhedrin. Rabbi Shimon says, come on, I know Sreifa is more chamor, because look, a regular adulterer gets chenek. And meanwhile, the Bas Kohen, she gets upgraded. Her upgrade is to Sreifa, to burning. So you see, Sreifa is more chamor. And the Chachamim come back right at Rabbi Shimon and provide the argument of, what do you mean? Idolatry, blasphemy, they get skila. And you want to tell me there are crimes more heinous than that? Can be. Skila is the most chamor. We've dealt with this already. This already is an issue the Gemara discussed at length in the beginning of the seventh parak.
Let them choose.
Huh? Let them choose. No. It's not a terrible suggestion, but they feel, these two positions feel, objectively, one is more chamor than the other. It's, you know, we're confused because they have different opinions, but each one of them feel that there's an objective, harsher position.
Right, but that's why I said, if it's really, the purpose is to give them the more lenient punishment, not to make them, let them choose which one they feel is more lenient.
Okay, but that's, I understand that, but that's not their position. Their position is objective. There's an objective nature. And once again, if I got a person who's chayev hereg, decapitation, mixed in with chenek, so once again, machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim, of those two, which one is more chamor? So Rabbi Shimon says saif is less chamor, and the Chachamim say chenek is less chamor. Okay, let's start with the Gemara, because here we go now. And
if you already learned, and I'm just curious how this happens, if you already learned that somebody's sentenced to death penalty, do you take him right away and they kill him right there and then? So how do you get a scenario where so many people have had a delay?
I don't know. I'm the same question bothers me. Mana Cheirin. Let's go with the...
Different Beis Din.
Different Beis Din.
They did, and then somehow they were walking.
Okay, again, it's more conceptual. These discussions are more conceptual discussions. Really, for me personally, the Tyrovis issues that come up, the concepts that come up from here, are really what we should be focusing on. Manacherim. So let's discuss the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about a Ritzeach getting mixed up with other people. So the Chachamim say, let them all go free. Okay, right? It's crazy, but we're not going to kill the others. And Rav Yehuda says, no, kill them all. Now, who are they? Who are these other people? So, Ilemachim, Ksherim, the regular people, just good Jewish people, Pshita. So, first of all, Phil's point. The Tanakhama's position is obvious. And then, second point, Vesuba, Halema, Rav Yehuda, Konstantin, Salakipa. And then Rav Yehuda can't be that. What are you going to call that? Collateral damage? Now, I know we talk about that, but over here, though, we're not going to murder somebody just because he got mixed up with a murderer, right? Okay, the Gemara says it's just untenable. So for this, the Gemara is going to provide 4 suggestions in terms of who Acherim are. Number one, Rama Rabbi Abba Rama Shmuel Hacha Berotzech Shlo Nigmar Dino Shinis Ari Berotzechem Acherim Shenigmar Dina Naskinan. We're talking about a Rotzeach who did not yet have a Gemar Din. Meaning, he's a murderer, we got pretty much everything going on, Beis Din was about to issue a judgment, and then along comes into court his identical twin brother, who was already convicted of murder. Look, they're identical twins, you know what I mean? If one murdered, the other one for sure is going to do it. They, you know, they do everything the same. And along comes into court his identical twin brother, and now I have a mixture of two people who look the same. One is convicted, and one was about to be convicted. And now as they stand here, they can't tell which one's which. I don't know which one's which. And Rabbanim Stavre, and Rabbanim say, look, in Gormim Dino Shaladam Ela Befanav. And even though Beis Din was about to issue a sentence of guilty, the halacha says the Chachamim is that in order to say guilty, you have to look at the perpetrator directly, face him, and say, you are guilty. Right now, because we have a group of people, and we don't know which one of them is which, and I don't know which one of them to face, and even though I'll face them collectively, but that's not good enough, so therefore they're all going to get exempt. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. Hilchach kulam pochim. V'Rav Yehuda, miftarin l'gamri namad lo kem in the rotzchen ninu. Look, Rav Yehuda says, look, the rotzchen. One of them right now, we didn't finish. But the Rotzchim, Hilkach, now in principle, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim. Totally. Totally agrees with the Chachamim. We can't finish the case right now because we can't face the man directly. But they're murderers, so Hilkach, Chonson, Osolakipo. So therefore, let's take care of them. Right? And we'll cause them to die, but not directly. That's answer number one. Answer number two. Reish Lakish.
I don't get it. They're saying it to the guy. It is befun.
Befundov means that you have to look at him. I don't mean this in such a literal fashion, but you have to look him in the eye. You got it.
It's a group of people.
I hear you. It's just the Gemara says it's not Befundov. Now answer number two. Reish Lakish Amar Be'adam Dekulei Amar Lo Pligi DePetire. Look, they're not talking about people. Well, you made such a mistake when you read the Mishnah, says Reish Lakish. You thought they were talking about people in the Mishnah. They're not talking about people in the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara later on will really challenge Reish Lakish, if not just completely dismiss him. But it's a strange thing to say in the Mishnah. We're not talking about people, right? The Mishnah, I understand Rotzeach could be an animal. Murder, an animal could be a murderer. But then the Mishnah talks about people are chayv skila with sreifa. Contextually speaking, the Mishnah is talking about people. Okay, but again, this is Reish Lakish's attempt to deal with the Mishnah. And the basic problem of, how do you understand Rabbi Yehuda? So Reish Lakish Amar about them to kula amalo pligit de p'tire. If it was people that are mixed up together, of course they would be potter. We're talking about oxen that got mixed up together. You know the halacha that we just learned regarding people? That in order to prosecute, right? In order to prosecute somebody, you have to look him directly in the eye. So, again, we have this discussion time and again. According to the Chachamim, you have to do the same thing with an animal as well. Look at the animal directly and say, you are a murderer. And since over here we lost that ability, because now it's a whole group of animals, at least my animals, I could say it a little bit easier. We don't know which animal's which. They all look the same. Right? So by animals, we could say a little bit better, Hilchach, Kulam, Patur, and therefore they're all Pater. And then what's Rabbi Yehuda's position? Sever, Kosan, Osola, Kipa. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, throw them all into a pit. And they're animals anyway. And one of them we know is a murderer. Okay, and here by animals we could say collateral damage. That would be fine. Those are the first two suggestions of the Gemara. Amar Rava. So Rava comes along and Rava says, neither of these suggestions really hold up. The first suggestion we'll attribute it to Shmuel, and the second suggestion of Reish Lakish. Neither of them really holds up. Why? Ihachi hainu diktani Allah. Because there is a Braisa that is an addendum to the Mishnah. And the Braisa reads the following one on the top of Peyamud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yossi afilo abba chalafta beinehen. Rabbi Yossi says, even if my father was there, it's kind of strange that he calls his father by his first name, but even if my father chalafta was there, right, that is what Rabbi Yossi says to the Mishnah. Meaning that achirim, you know who they are? Good people. Fine people. Even if my father Chalafta was amongst them, my father Chalafta is a very straight, yasha person, the din would be true. Now, certainly, we'll say two things about Rabbi Yossi's father. He's not a murderer. That knocks out the first answer of the Gemara. And he's not an animal. That knocks out the second answer of the Gemara. So, if, right, following this Braisa, which is an addendum, an accepted addendum to the Mishnah, the Rav Shmuel's answer is certainly no good, and Reish Lakish's answer is certainly no good. Elama Rav, so the Gemara starts again now. So this is the third answer, right, or if you want to start counting again, this is now the first answer. Elama Rav HaChikamar, Shnaim Shayom Demiyatza Chetz Mei Beinehem, Vaharag, Shneim Peturim. Oh, it's a firing squad. You assume totally incorrect assumption in the Mishnah. We are now discussing a firing squad where I have two people standing there. One of those two shot an arrow. We don't know which one of them shot an arrow. The harag shnei and peturim. They're both going to be potter. The amar Rav Yossi afilo abba chalafta beinehem. Even if one of them is abba chalafta. Meaning, now follow carefully, because now you understand the point of the Braisa. Abba Chalafta is a...
No, he wasn't going to shoot anybody.
He's not going to shoot anybody. Right. That's not Abba Chalafta. That's not his personality. However, we do know this. One of those two shot an arrow. We're not sure which one of those two shot an arrow. That is undetermined. Even though I could candidly say to one another, Abba Chalafta probably didn't do it, still they're both going to be exempt. And by the way, that's the idea behind a firing squad. The idea behind a firing squad is that I have a whole bunch of people shoot at this guy. We don't know which one of them killed him. Okay? And they, you know, it helps their conscience and it helps the legal aspect of it. Okay, let's say. Vishur shenigmar dina shenisar bishar macherim ma'al yasok lenoson. Rabbi Yehuda omer konsen osol kippah. And then, when we talk about animals, where the animals had a gemar din, and the animals get mixed up together, so the animals receive skilim, Rav Yehuda says, no, you put them into a kippah. That, fine.
There's no monetary compensation. They know that only one.
I don't know. I don't know.
Go for an animal.
No, I'm saying here, but if somebody kills them, the bezin kills them all. What happened to the owner of the shore?
Okay, I'm not sure. All right, but let's now continue. Vahatanya. We learned in a brisa parsha misavachakach yalda. Im ashlo nigmar dina yalda vlada mutar. Okay, an animal that kills, and then the animal gave birth. Okay, so usually we usually think of a murderer as being a male, but it could be a female. Certainly true by human. Certainly true by an animal. And here you have an animal that's a murderer, and the animal's pregnant, and the animal gives birth. So ima shelo nigmar dina, before the gemar din yalada vlada mutter, then the offspring will be mutter. Imishenigmar dina, if however after the gemar din the animal gives birth, vlada aser misarev ba'acherim, and if there's a tarovis, a mixture of acherim ba'acherim kontanos alakipa, you put them all into a pen and you allow them all to die. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amar mivinos on the basin, v'soklanos so. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, you bring them to basin and you give them all skila. Amar mar. Okay? Good. Amar mar. We have stated, im ashlo nigmar dina yalda vlada muteris. You have an animal, it's a pregnant animal, and the animal gored somebody to death, and the animal now needs to be killed. Correct? And the Braisa says that if the animal, however, before the Gemar Din, gives birth to a beautiful baby calf, so the baby calf is muteris. It's permissible. The Gemar says, really? The Alpha Gav, the Chinacha Havat Mi Abra, the Hamarava Rava says, wait a second. Vlad Hanogachas Aser. He Uvlada Nakha. Vlad Hanirvas Aser. He Uvlada Nirvau. That's Rabbi says that's not the halacha. When you have an animal that's pregnant and the animal did the goring, so the animal did the goring and the fetus also did the goring. In other words, when an animal rams into something, so what creates the damage is the force. Force is mass times acceleration. So over here, the mass, what contributes to the mass of the animal plus the fetus inside of the animal. So the fetus also is a nogeach. What are you going to tell me? That he had no, it was unintentional, it was against the will, it didn't... It doesn't matter.
It was used as a tool,
and it contributed to the mass, and therefore it's also considered nogeach. Rava says that the vlad is also considered a nogeach. And what if an animal is sodomized? This is even harder to conceptualize. What if an animal is sodomized, and the animal that was sodomized was a female animal, and that female animal that was sodomized was pregnant? So what was sodomized? Both the animal and the fetus inside the animal was sodomized as well. Okay. As uber yerech imo, not yet. Not yet. Right? Rava seems to be divorced from that concept. You'll see why I say that in just a moment. Right? Rava's of the opinion that both are sodomized. Now, in the case of sodomy, what does that mean? A sodomized animal is usser. Usser for what?
Carbon.
For a carbon. Can't be brought as a carbon. Animal doesn't become usser in terms of meat and eating.
Kabayas can be used for that.
No. I don't. I shouldn't say no so fast. I don't think so. No.
Just the Shoshanagach.
Yeah. Yeah, so the, fine. So Ema, so now, what we're, so good. So that's Rava's halacha, and that halacha that Rava says is clear and unequivocal. So we go back to the Braisa, and we're kind of at a loss. The Braisa says that if it gave birth before the Gemar Din, the baby's fine. If it gave birth after the Gemar Din, the baby's usher. What do you mean? Rava teaches us, it doesn't matter when the baby's born. If the mother was pregnant at the time when it did the negicha, it gored, so the baby also contributed to the goring. The baby is also considered a gorer, if that's a word. So ema. So let's say the following. We're going to have to now give a new pshat in the braisa. Achelo nigmar dina Ibra v'yalda v'lada mutter. Imishenigmar dina ibra v'yalda v'lada aser. Ah, we're talking about where the mother was not pregnant at the time of the goring. And then, after it gored some body to death, then the animal, like it should be, I know it should have been taken to court right away, but it wasn't taken to court right away, and it was impregnated, and then it gave birth, and all this took place before the Gemar Din, that fetus is fine. Was not part of the Negicha, was not, was born before the Gemar Din of the animal, that fetus is fine. However, if the fetus is born after the Gemar Din, so the Gemar Din is going on the mother and on the fetus as well. If you're curious to know, what if it's a pregnant woman, right, and she's a murderer, what happens to her fetus? So stay tuned, because later on we're going to discuss that very issue in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. I don't remember which stuff. Hanicha l'man d'amar, one more point for today. Hanicha l'man d'amar zev zegarim aser. Right, we've hit a lot of big concepts today. We talked about kavua today. We talked about ta'arovis. We talked about konsenos alakipa. Here's another huge topic for today. Zev zegarim. This fetus right now that's born is a product of a union of a father and a mother, right? Takes two to make a child. This fetus now is produced by father and mother. Father is not a murderer, right? We assume. Only the mother is. So now, the concept that this fetus is going to be put to death, because this fetus was inside of the mother, and the mother went through a Gemar Din, and consequently the fetus is going to be put to death, yeah, but you, what are you going to do? You're going to ignore the father? This is now a situation of Zev Zagorein. Two things were used to produce this fetus. Mom and dad. Mom's a murderer, dad's not a murderer. So if Zev Zagorein is Aser, if we are of the general position that Zev Zagorein is Aser, so then we have no... Then we understand. Yes, I'm going to put the fetus to death. Elaman Dam is Zev Zagorein Mutter, but if I subscribe to the view of Zev Zagorein is Mutter, my Ika Lamemar. So what are you going to say? Well, how do you understand this? Elam Ravina Ema. So Ravina says, okay, let's go back over the Braisa. Let's say the Braisa this way. Ema Shalonig Mardina Ibrav Yalda. If before the Gemar Din she was pregnant and she had a baby, Vlad the Mutter, the Vlad would be Mutter. Vema Shalonig Mardina Ibra Umishinig Mardina Yalda Vlada Aser. Why? Uber Yerech Imahu. Because Uber Yerech Imahu. Meaning that yes, it's true, Zev Zegarim is usually mutter, but as long as the fetus is connected to the mother and the mother received the Gemar Din goes on every limb of the mother, including the fetus as well, because while the fetus is in utero, the fetus is considered a limb of the mother, and therefore the fetus itself is going to receive a Gemar Din as well. Okay, a lot of big concepts for today, huge concepts. Please take a couple of minutes, a couple of hours today, if possible, to go over today's Gemara.